How many here ever get things in the mail? You know, from Charter, you know, AT&T, Dish, Direct. Everybody, everyone, everyone and their brother out there send you information in the mail. And today's way of marketing is, how many here have a phone? Now, some of us are antiquated, like a telephone that's a landline. How many landlines are out there? Oh, praise God. I thought I was all by myself. And all I was getting calls was just from, you know, politicians. And then how many out there have TV? How many are hooked up to the internet? Yeah, we got internet and some people and some don't. And so now we come into all the way from where we've come from to now, and that famous word out there that everybody wants to hook you into is starts with a B. Bundle. Bundle all this together and we'll give you a better deal. Well, now, how many, when you came to church today, saw the sign? You better see that sign. Because Dan, he knows I'm wearing out the grass out there putting that sign and changing it. And Dan says, don't change it so much. No, you're stomping the grass. I must be doing a shuffle out there when I'm doing it or something. I don't know. But I told him I'm getting faster. I watch Wheel of Fortune every night. And I watch Vanna. And I'm just running through there and I'm putting letters and all these things here. And then I step back, look at it. And then I take a picture of it so I can come back in and sit down and look at it again. Because you don't want spelled words out there wrong or whatever. But so bundle. That phraseology hit me 3 or 4 weeks back about something on the sign and the bundling and all that. And then the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about or the word bundle, we come to understand that it's a group of things generally that are fastened together, tied together, or they're wrapped together. That's a bundle. And the group of things that are together, are they associated some way with each other? And that's why they got your telephone, your TV, your internet. That's one type of bundle. Those all kind of fall into that type of communication and technology. But we also look at it as a person who has a lot of some quality or who is known for a particular kind of behavior. How many here, well, especially little babies, they go, that child is just a bundle of joy, bundle of energy. They go, go, go. They're just a bundle of whatever. So it's something like that that sticks out. But we're going to look at it today where it's something that's put together with something else to something else. Bundling in today's society has, for the most part, become second nature. Yeah. 5 years or maybe 10 or 12 or 15, 25 years back, somebody has said, I want to talk to you about bundle. They would have probably thought, you know, like a baby, a bundle, or a bundle of something, you know, of something that you put together and just, you know, stuff that way. But now today it's got a whole different meaning and has been used a whole lot more. It's become second nature. Bundling is really prevalent in the area of our phone, TV, internet, stuff like that. But also it's in other areas. Microsoft is good at bundling. They've been bundling a long time. Their computer programs usually come bundled. You know, you get a computer and you got Microsoft Word and you got Office and you got PowerPoint. You got all this other dictionary, all these things. They bundle it all together and they give you a price and you're figuring, well, now the bundling works good if you get the bundle and you save money, right? So they did find through studies that a bundle only works if there's singular things out there that can be bought for that same thing, you know, telephone, internet, whatever the case might be. Because we're going to gauge it by what that bundle is for all three compared to breaking it out for individuality of all three. Now, I'm still one. I'm partial bundled. I haven't totally bundled. There's something about that I don't want to get into in the world's ways of things. I still feel like I want to have control over at least two areas of options rather than getting locked in for unknown how many months to this one company for all these things. But I'm getting close, and I've always learned never say never, but I'm going to go fighting. before I get all my stuff bundled into one, but it'll probably come one of these days. That's just me, but that's Microsoft. Think about this. You deserve a break today. McDonald's. McDonald's has been bundling for how long? Think of the Happy Meal. The Happy Meal bundle. Hamburger, fries, a drink, and even a prize. You know? It's the modern-day Cracker Jacks box. Well, they bundled Cracker Jacks back then. You had popcorn, peanuts, caramel, fries. So bundles been around. And it just today in society, we hear much more of it because about every day you're getting something in the mail or every other day from some organization, group, utility or something about bundle, 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 bundle. So the hamburger, fries, and a drink and a toy, the Happy Meal bundle. I looked at and I saw an article in Forbes magazine. It's dated in January of 2013, and it was from an assistant professor in the marketing unit at Harvard. His name was Vinette Kumer. Anyway, he says this, bundling is pervasive in several markets, and it works well in many cases. Ideally, you should be bundling products that have a positive synergy together. They work off of each other. They build off of each other. Well, that's why, who could have a hamburger without fries? Who could have a hamburger without a drink? Who can have, you know, fries without a drink? You know, it all kind of goes together. That's why they're saying, well, if you got telephone, that's normal, and you got internet, and now it's tied in your phone, and now you've got this television and all that. Why not just put it all together and bundle it? So the synergy of items together. Now, the business world uses that a lot in corporate meetings and all. If anybody sat in corporations and meetings and all that, they talk about synergy. Anybody familiar with that in corporations in the world out there, you know, in companies? They want the synergy of everybody, and that's everybody working together. You know, if we can get people into this format and thinking, and this is what the company wants, there's a lot more potential and power in the synergy of 100 than the synergy of 5. Synergy, if you look at that word, it's the increased effectiveness that results when two or more people or a business work together. The synergy. And you're saying, well, what's that all got to do with church? What's that got to do with me coming and sitting here and listening to, you know, are you going to give me a phone package and a TV package, Pastor? Yes, I've got a really good deal if I could give your name to this person. No. Remember those days. You always could tell somebody in your neighborhood or family bought a Kirby or an Electrolux or something or a set of Encyclopedia Britannica. Here, give us 5 names and we'll give you a free this. Wow, okay. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh, that's years gone by. Britannica, encyclopedias, there'd be people here going like, what are those? That's like the telephone with a dial, like, I still believe, and if you give a teenager today a key and said, here, go get in your car, they probably wouldn't know how to do it. Because where's that fob? Where's that magic button? You know, this key doesn't do anything, you know. We have come just tremendously in so many things. But anyway, that's what this marketer had said about, you know, ideally you should be bundling products that have a positive synergy. So we have a bundle. And of course that bundle is known as what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we want to look at that bundle because you, to get the fullness of that package, you need what? All 3 of them. And my heart goes out to some of these religions out there that only want to pick on oneness. Of just, oh, Jesus. Or we're just by the Holy Spirit. Or we're just God, you know. They're missing out on the other 2/3 of the power that is there, of that synergy of all that combined. So think about that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. I, you know, I'm just going to throw out some things, and there's a lot of ways you can dig this out and direction you want to go with it. But I looked at God is the creator. He created this stuff, this thing, this place, this sphere that we're on. Jesus redeemed us, brought us back into the right standing with God, took care of our sins. We're going to dig into some more of that. And the Holy Spirit leads us. God created the situations here and the earth and all that's here. Jesus comes to take care of what happened way back there in the garden and the fall of man. He redeems us back to a relationship with God. And then Jesus goes so that he can say the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can come so he can lead you into all truth and guidance and direction. And the convictions of the Holy Spirit are there to help us clean up ourselves to be even closer to God. So you need the three in one. That's why in our church setting, we believe in the triune that of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to have all three. So Genesis 1:1 says this, God created. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that's where I thought, you know, as I was just pondering this past week and just didn't write a whole lot down until last night, but I just kept going over in my mind, different thoughts, different things, this direction in the last 3 or 4 days. So I said, well, okay, let's go. God had created. So Genesis 1:1, he says this, that God created in the beginning. So God is my creator. To create, bara, or something like that in their language, would be to form or fashion, to produce, to create. That's my God. How about your God? Amen. God, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, who has provided mankind with a revelation of himself through the natural world and through his Son, Jesus Christ. Is there a God? The closest I can get in the flesh to see him is say, look around you. Look at the nature. Look at the animals. Look at the wildlife. Look at the clouds. Look at the sun. Look at the rain. Look at the moon. Look at all of this that's happening. And you would have a hard time, as much as society and man and evolution and all these people want to try to do to us about, you know, all this stuff just happened and it just fell apart or fell in place. Just so perfect. I don't know how this happened. Wow, talk about luck. You know, there was no luck involved at it all because God spoke it, God thought it, he brought it to existence, and boom, it is there. So, okay, I can't take that guy by the hand and lead him up and say, here's God. I've not seen him personally, but I've seen his work, and it's so marvelous. And sometimes to really experience the things of God, it's sometimes looking at the things of nature and how they do things. How do they do it? Their brain is not defined like ours, but yet they do a lot of things that it's like, how do they do that? How do these birds fly south and come back and know exactly where they're going? How do butterflies go from here to there and they migrate and come back and they go for thousands of miles and they know where they're going? To the same place all the time. There's a built-in, that GPS, there's a built-in thing that God has put in to nature, into his creativity. And I'm going to say this, that if he's put that much into a little brain of a butterfly, what has he put into your brain? Wow! Think of that. But we still have to have GPS. You still have to learn how to read a map, I guess, you know, whatever this is. But God is there. He has created. Creator, the sustainer. This is all held in place by God. Do you realize they talk about statistics or things of science that if everything just went by 1 degree off here or there, that we would have too hot a temperature or we'd have too cold a temperature? If this shifted just a little bit this way by 2 or 3 degrees or even 1 degree or whatever, that catastrophic things would happen. God is sustaining all of this by his power. Ooh. That's God. Isn't that exciting? That's my God. That's your God. It's not Allah. Allah can't do nothing. He's dead in a grave and dust and bones. You know? Buddha, he ain't nothing but a big belly guy. You know? You know? He gets a lot of recognition in Chinese restaurants and things like that. Oh, well, okay. You know? But these are things that's what they honor. That's what they go to. That's what their pilgrimage would be to and all these things they do. But we have a God that is still sustaining, still holding this earth and the heavens all together. Wow. Now, man looks at things when things are out there in space and there's a meteorite coming, and they go, well, it's pretty close to us. How close is it? It's 330,000 miles away. Wow. I can't even comprehend that, because it's like, I got to go to, you know, Menards, and it's 10 miles on the other side of town. I just really don't want to go. 10 miles is too far, you know? I'm just like, oh, really? But anyway, we look at this. God is the creator, the sustainer of the universe. He's provided mankind with that revelation of himself through the natural world and through his son. We'll find out more about that. What about Jesus as our redeemer? What's a redeemer? It's a person who brings goodness, honor to something again. I look out here and I see purpose and honor in all you that have been redeemed by the blood. Amen? You're not junk. You're not wasted. You're nothing other than great and mighty things that God has for you. And that because of Jesus, the Redeemer, part of our bundle, the bundle of Jesus in this package comes upon this earth to redeem us back to God, the sustainer and the creator. Wow. So, a redeemer is a person who brings goodness, honor to something again. He redeems something. Well, I've been redeemed. You have too. We find that the angel Gabriel, sent by God to Mary in Luke 1:26, he tells Mary of the birth that she will have and to call his name Jesus. Later in Luke 2:30, Simeon, he's talking to Mary and Joseph. And Simeon makes this statement, remember this, for my eyes have seen your salvation, as he's holding Jesus. Salvation. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What is salvation? Rescue, deliverance, safety, liberation, release, redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been released from the sins of the past, the sins of what you're... sins that we just are sin nature. We've been released from that because of Jesus. Delivered. There's a safety there. Jesus, the human divine Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, the great high priest, who does what? Intercedes for us at the right hand of God. And then if you go to Revelation 19:11-16. What happens? Well, let's turn there just to slow it down a little bit here. So, Revelation 19. And I'm going to read in 11. And now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of the mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, what? King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus will come again. Hallelujah. When? I don't know. How? On a white horse. What's going to happen? It's going to be a sound of trumpets and all this coming and coming. You know, all this stuff, woo, coming. But this tells me, Jesus is my redeemer. Simeon is saying he's seen her salvation, that deliverance. Jesus is the human divine Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, the great high priest who intercedes for us this day, the right hand of God, interceding for me and for you. But also, Jesus will return one day. He's not done. And then we get to the point of the Holy Spirit leads us. In John 16:13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That guide is talking about he will lead you. He will direct you into part truth. All truth. So the Holy Spirit, he's leading us. The bundle of God created. The bundle of Jesus redeemed me. The bundle of the Holy Spirit, he leads me. I need the three in one. How about you? They all have a purpose. They all have a divine use and purpose of why God has those three. So he will lead or guide us into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Holy Spirit is nothing other than communicating what God, the Creator, the sustainer of all of this, speaks through that of the Holy Spirit into your spirit, telling you things. People say, oh, that's crazy. Holy Spirit is not active or not for today or that was back then or this, you know, there's certain bits and pieces and this and this and that and that. And there's a lot of people out there that only want to throw out part of the bundle and they don't want the whole thing. But God's Word says these things, so why do we want to throw it out? Why not take it all? That'd be like, okay, I'm going to bundle my telephone and my, you know, internet and TV. But I really don't believe in everything on that TV, so I'm just going to only believe, rather than having 200 channels, I'm only going to go listen to 5. Because I don't think those other, you know, 195 or whatever is worth it. So I'm gonna change my bundle. Well, I don't like all this stuff on the phone, so I'm going to do only this. So we would, in the flesh, start changing these things out. Well, when you do that, you're not getting the benefit of the whole bundle. Well, how sad it is. Man, in some areas, and whatever reason, they've taken out some of the most important parts of the bundle that God has for us, or for them. Because you'll find that when man has not an understanding of something, rather than just trusting God for what God is, they cast it out and say, well, I don't really understand it, and that was for back then. It's deeper than I really want to go, so I'm just not going to deal with it. Well, there's a lot of things in God's Word that I don't understand. So does that mean that I'm going to give up on God? No. There's a lot of things that happen that I can't explain. Does that mean I give up on God? No. Because we'll find out is his nature, his characteristics and all, why we can trust him. We'll find out some of the characteristics and things of Jesus, why we can trust him. We'll find out some of the things and the characteristics of the Holy Spirit and why we can trust him. Wow. I want the whole package. God has offered that up. Why don't I want to receive that? Because of what I hear some men or some people, even some learned people, will try to tell you things out there about the Holy Spirit. There's people out there that tell you that speaking in tongues is that of the devil. You know, how do they know? They don't. They're just summarizing and they're looking at scriptures and things, or they're, because they don't understand maybe, because they don't quite have the clarity. As many times as man will take and open up the scriptures of God and do commentaries and research the verbiage and research the dialect and research all this stuff, it comes down to it that there are certain verses and things in the Bible that the Bible confronts that you can get 5 or 6 or whatever scholars of men out there to, you read the scripture and tell me what it's all about. You read the scripture and tell me what it's all about. And I'll tell you, probably if you've got 6 people doing that, there's a good chance that you'll probably come up with 4 or 5 or all 6 have a different opinion of that. So when they do that, that tells me, well, they're no wiser than I am. I can read God's Word for what it says, and I can be led by that of the Holy Spirit, because God says he will lead me by that of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that, and that he will give me all truth and lead me and guide me. Why not listen to the Holy Spirit? Why not throw those questions to God? Have you guys ever questioned and thrown questions up to God? It's okay. Do it. He'll answer you. He'll let you know. Listen, when you throw up a question or you don't have an understanding, just get before God and just say, Lord, what's this all about? What am I missing here? Why is it so hard for me to get a clue of this? I know it's not that hard. I know you're wanting to have it understood to even children, you know, to understand this stuff. Come unto you as a child. Just come with an understanding that God is the sustainer and the creator. And there are things that he has said, there are things that he has put in his word that we will not have a clarity of understanding of at all until probably we get to eternity then, maybe. And if not, like when Job was saying, like things like, God will probably say, well, Tim, where were you when I did all this creation? I don't know. I was just a twinkle in the star somewhere. So, know that God is God. Know that Jesus is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is doing what he's to be doing. So we find that the Holy Spirit leads us in John 16:13. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who exercises the power of the Father and the Son in creation and redemption. His chief function, or one of the functions, is to illuminate Jesus' teachings and to glorify Jesus' work in the individual believers and the church. To bring glory unto Jesus, to bring glory unto the Father as he works through us, his creation. Wow, that's exciting. The things that we do, the things that we say, the places he sends us, we are to bring glory and honor to him. And if we allow the Spirit to speak through us, to at least direct us or to give us some thought, we will honor God. We will glorify God. Jesus said, I don't do anything but what it brings glory and our honor or glorify my Heavenly Father. If Jesus was like that, why shouldn't we be like that? It's not to glorify a church. It's not to glorify a ministry. It's not to glorify a works. It's not to glorify a group. It's not to glorify a function or an organization. It's only to glorify God Almighty, the sustainer and the creator that started this whole thing anyway. And so that's who we got to glorify. That's what, when people see us, don't say, whoa, you're awesome. You know, say, well, that's my God. Because I'm pretty, filthy and yucky inside and all that until Jesus came, you know. But he loved me so much, as he loves you too. Really? Oh, boy. There's an open-ended question to start getting into, huh? Maybe it leads you into other things of salvation. Who knows? But the Holy Spirit illuminates the teachings of Jesus, glorifies his works in the believer and in the church. So, okay. If I want to look at God and accounts of creation, I know we could look at Genesis and start reading through a lot of that. But let's go to Psalms 104. Psalms 104. Praise to the sovereign Lord for his creation and providence. So Psalms 104 starts out, bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, yeah. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Who covered yourselves with light as with a garment? Who stretched out the heavens like a curtain? He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. Who makes the clouds his chariot? Who walks on the wings of the wind? Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. Verse 8. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you found it for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. And 10, he sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man. God, creator, sustainer. That he may bring forth food from the earth. Verse 15. And wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he's planted, where the birds make their nest. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and they lay down in their dens. Man goes out to do his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great, there are the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan. Let's see, what is it? Leviathan. A large sea creature of unknown identity, which you have made to play there. I'm just going to read it all the way through. These all wait for you, that you may give them your food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open their hand, they are filled with good. You hide their face. You hide your face, they are troubled. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth, and it trembles. He touches the hills, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. That's God, our Creator. Now you can go back into Genesis, of course, and go through the whole times of creation and times of developing things and what he spoke into existence each day. Quickly, redemption. Christ redeemed us. Romans 3. Romans 3, 21 to 24. Romans 3, 21 to 24 says this. Romans 3, verses 21 to 24. Speaking of Christ, redemption. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the what? Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption, a release secured by the payment of a ransom, deliverance, setting free. The word in secular Greek described a conqueror releasing prisoners, a master ransoming a slave, and a redemption from an alien yoke. In the New Testament, it designates deliverance through Christ from evil and the penalty of sin. The price paid to purchase that liberation was his shed blood. That's redemption. That's my Jesus. Amen. Jesus, our Redeemer, part of our bundle. Colossians 1. Okay, if I go to Colossians 1, this brief, we're kind of skimming through these things, so you see where our bundle is coming from here. 1:13, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is Colossians 1st chapter, verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love. Conveyed would be transferred. So he's transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14, and in whom we have what? Redemption through what? His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And at 15, this kind of adds it into it a little bit, but say, look at this. He is the image of what? The invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him, for him. Jesus. And then wrapping this up for today, let's look at the Holy Spirit quickly. The Holy Spirit is what? Leading us. I'm going to first go to Galatians since I'm back that way. Go to Galatians 5:18. This is in regards to the Holy Spirit leading us, part of the bundle, the three. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and it goes on and describes those things. And it's talking about walking in the Spirit. And 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do the things that you wish, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Holy Spirit being our leader. Let's just jump back real quick to Romans 8. Sonship through the Spirit. Romans 8:14 just quickly says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So that's just some quick, and there's more in there, of looking at what this is about on this being that of the bundle of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to dig into this in the next few weeks, looking at God as far as the Creator, looking at Jesus the Redeemer, looking at the Holy Spirit that leads us. What I want to touch upon that we'll look at is like for God. The divine characters of God, his holiness, the eternal of him, the infinite of him, all-knowing. Some of the characteristics of God, we want to look at those things. Looking at Jesus, some of the things that on earth that he did, you know, doing the Father's will, fulfilling the Old Testament, giving his life as a ransom, reconciling us to God, you know, destroying the works of Satan. Jesus as our Redeemer. And then we get into it, we'll spend some time also looking at the Holy Spirit. We want to look at the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit, about that of the person, we find out and we will look at the Holy Spirit where he teaches, he encourages, he counsels, he convicts people of the sin, and he prays for us. Wow. Why would you want to leave that part out of your bundle? Wow. In individuals, it looks at, he gives us power to witness. He teaches us what to say. He reveals God's secrets to us. He brings Christ's presence to us. He keeps us in touch with God. He teaches us about Christ. Remember talking about the Holy Spirit came and he's teaching the things of Christ and God and the world. And he enables us to find the truth. He encourages us. He controls us. He gives us joy and peace. He draws us into a fellowship. Don't you see how important it is to have this bundle? My gosh. It'd be great, you know, if you just honor and worship God for who God is and that's where you stop, that's good, but you're missing the other parts of what God was all about and what God has for you. And if you discourse or discount God and the Holy Spirit and just focus on Jesus, you don't understand what God had to do it, and now the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. So it is so important, guys, to get this bundle, and this is the best bundle to get on earth. Amen. It's going to beat any bundle that AT&T can come up with Charter can come up with, Dish can come up with. I don't care if McDonald's. They can't put a food basket together any better than what Jesus can. Hallelujah. The bundle. The bundle. Ideally, you would want to bundle products that have that positive synergy, that increased effectiveness that results when two or more items or people or businesses work together. Amen. Talks about a group of things that are together, are associated with each other in some way. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. They're associated with each one, aren't they? So we want to go into that in the next few weeks out. So tell your friends. Tell them to come to church to get a bundle. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? Best deals out there for bundles are like, $29.99 a piece or $19.99, $29.99, $29.99. Hey, you know, for all things for like $89 or whatever. I offer you a bundle that's free. A bundle that has been paid for by that of the blood of Jesus Christ, hung on a cross for you. Well, how do I get this bundle? Receive Jesus Christ. And you get all the benefits of this. Isn't that awesome? And then you can tell your family about this. And I hope this will give you a thing when you, God gives, when you open another envelope that says a charter deal for a bundle, you're going to not think of charter, you're going to think of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your life today and every day. Hallelujah.